You work hard. Now play harder with the all-new Nissan Armada. It's big, spacious, and powerful. It features a twin-turbo V6 engine that delivers serious strength. Inside, there's room for up to 8 passengers, perfect for bringing the whole family along. With an impressive new engine, incredible towing capacity, and adventure-ready technology, this is the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge. Whether you're tackling tough roads or exploring new horizons, the all-new Nissan Armada is built to keep up with your adventures.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I was almost surprised when Taylor's hand was raised at the end, because you could feel Serrano coming on strong. Katie Taylor was a very much more of a clear winner.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Football Show on Off the Ball
with William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along to Thursday night's football show, and we are previewing a massive two-legged playoff for the Republic of Ireland women's team tonight. Ireland, of course, hoping to qualify for the Euros for the first time in the history of the women's team, and hoping, of course, to make it to back-to-back major tournaments. The first leg tomorrow night in Cardiff, the return leg next Tuesday in Dublin. Tickets still on sale for that second leg in Dublin. Kathleen McNamee is there for us in Cardiff tomorrow night. Well, she's there right now. Kathleen, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Owen. How are you?
All good. And I'm delighted to say that Catherine Morgan, who has 51 Wales caps, is with us on the line as well. Catherine, how are you doing?
Yeah, good evening, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. Kathleen, you might just kick things off for us. I mean, there seems to be some sort of debate in the room. We'll play audio in just a second, but there seems to be some debate as to who actually is favourites for this clash tomorrow night and over the course of these two legs. What's going on? What's the truth here?
Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, Catherine, I'd love to hear your position, because I feel like there was some questioning from the Welsh journalists in the room today whenever Eileen Gleeson was asked about some of Rhian Wilkinson's questions, and everyone was keeping very, very coy.
Well, to be honest with you, I think for us, the reality is that Ireland, you know, you've been to a World Cup, so you've had those experiences. You've already reached a major tournament. But I guess... So for me, as a pundit and as an ex-player, as an ex-manager, I'm like, pressure's on you. but for Wales, I think that, you know, we can make history. We can make our own destiny. We want to get there just as much as you. You know, both Celtic teams, massive hearts. I got fond memories of playing Republic of Ireland so many times in my 15-year career. So, I personally, I feel that there's more pressure on Ireland to get there only because they've already reached a major tournament. But I think this is probably the best draw that we could have hoped for.
Is the queasiness around this Welsh fixture, Kathleen, a recent thing? Is there still the lingering memory of the 2-0 win for Wales earlier this year that has just affected everybody's confidence that this might be okay for Ireland this entire fixture, or maybe it's actually just a reminder of the reality of the task over these next two games?
I think it's a bit of both. Like, I don't think Ireland would have gone into this fixture, whether we had that game against Wales and we had lost them earlier in the year, with really any different approach. You know, these are two teams that have gone toe-to-toe for several years. The only real difference with us is the last while is we have made it to that major tournament. We have that World Cup experience. But in terms of the caliber of players that are on both teams, you know, they're not that far apart. They're all playing in big leagues. We have, you know, our Katie McCabe, our Denise O'Sullivan's, they have their Jess Fishlocks. You know, there's... the similarities between the teams are very similar. And I think, like, for us, this is probably one of the more challenging draws that we could have got, in that we know that we have the capability on paper to beat this Welsh team. But if it's really close, or if it is a thing that if Wales managed to beat us, I don't think it'll be a massive, massive surprise. It'll be incredibly disappointing, and it'll open up that whole question about, you know, Eileen Gleeson's role and whether she should continue in it. And I think the team will be incredibly disappointed in themselves, but we're not within the realm of looking at this team and being like, we should be wiping the absolute floor with them.
Certainly not. But let's have a listen to Eileen Gleeson. She was asked about this very theme earlier on.
We're expecting a very evenly matched tie.
Obviously, you've had a brilliant year. You're going to the game as favourites.
What did you make of the kind of Wales, the differences in Wales under Ian Wilkinson compared to the previous Wales you've under Joe McGrange?
Yeah, well, I guess your context of a brilliant year, we had a really tough qualifying group against second, third and fifth in the world. Obviously, we had to manage that. And then, yeah, we had the playoff like Wales, and they've had differences, experiences in League B, and probably a tougher playoff experience. So, you know, the title of favourite and the title of this, that and the other, it's all going to come down to these two games. I think with Ryan, we see more development that we have. Wales, like ourselves, have been progressing nicely. And like I said, it's that really well organised, clear on the roles and good mobility around the midfield.
In terms of the favouritism stuff, just to put it on the record, for tomorrow night, I can't find a two-legged price here, but Wales are favourites for tomorrow night. There's going to be a winner tomorrow night. So maybe overall it drifts in favour of the Republic of Ireland, but it's close at best. Catherine, when it comes to the confidence levels in Wales, like, what does the playoff defeat to Switzerland for the last World Cup actually do to that subject of confidence and the kind of this national expectation? Because certainly the muscle memory from an Irish point of view, from a supporter standpoint, is that right? This is a similar enough situation to playing Scotland before the World Cup in Australia and New Zealand, and Ireland managed to pass that test. Does the fact that Wales had that desperately disappointing extra time defeat to Switzerland temper expectations, temper the appetite for the favourites tag?
Yeah, I think if we go back to the Switzerland game, you know, we must remember that we made it hard for ourselves in the first place by having to play extra time, you know, in the first playoff game. So that didn't help. And then obviously Switzerland had been on camp for 10 days. So they had 10 days of prep before coming into that game. And we had 3 days off and we're playing on the fourth day. So I think the reality is it was such a close game and there were fine margins, but I guess on the day, it still hurts. The core of players, the experienced players, your Jess Fislocks and Harrod James, you know, Hayley Ladds, all those players. Sophie Ingle, obviously, unfortunately, you know, is injured. But all those players who were there and felt hurt at being so, so close, I think they just need to get that monkey off their back. And I think they're going into this game genuinely. And I am a nightmare. I am panicking. I am petrified. but the players are so calm. You know, they are so calm. They know what they have to do. They know it's going to be tough. We know we will suffer in the game. And I think that is, I think the caliber of the Irish players are fantastic. And the only thing that is frightening me a little bit is that I believe that the Irish girls, most of those girls are playing at a higher level in domestic football than our girls. And that is the only little nagging thing in the back of my mind, is saying, can we play and produce two 90-minute performances of our lives? Because that's what's needed.
I think it's so funny. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Kathleen, just 1 second. Just to let people know that Shamrock Rovers have equalised in Austria, Johnny Kenny, with, I think, his third goal in Europe this season. An absolutely brilliant moment for the away supporters there in Austria. 57 minutes on the clock. Brilliant win. A brilliant run down the left-hand side. Ball is crossed into the centre of the box where Johnny Kenny is waiting to tap it into the net. So if they can hold on and get a result from Austria tonight, it would be absolutely sensational. Rapid Vienna did have a shout for a penalty, but VAR overturned the on-field decision. And I should also say that Rasmus Højlund has just scored a second goal for Manchester United. They're now 3-2 up against Bodo Glimt. Kathleen, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Just devastating me with that United news. I was quite enjoying that game before I came on air here. No, I just think it's interesting hearing Catherine say that, because I don't think, like, we're not that different in how we're looking at this game. You know, we're talking about the fact that, okay, yes, maybe some of our players are playing at a slightly higher level, but also the consistency of playing time for a lot of the Welsh players that are likely to start tomorrow is probably a lot better than what we have been looking at. You know, we have players that are, and I know same for them, but like coming out of season time, you have Julianne Russell, who hasn't played for the last couple of weeks, because her season has finished. And I know no one's worrying about her fitness, because everyone on that team will say Julianne is like the fittest player going, and we've seen that with how she's come back from pregnancy in the last year and things. But I think all the talk today with Denise and with Eileen was about that experience with Ukraine, about that experience in Scotland. I think we have that difference, yes, of like we went through exactly the same thing as Wales did. The only difference was we were able to get over the line the next time. And Denise was saying, well, all the rest of us were kind of stressed and asking questions and how are you preparing? She was like, we're all very calm. You know, we're approaching this as a must-win game. We're not even thinking about the Aviva on Tuesday. We need to go into tomorrow. That's the one we need to look at. That's the one that we need to psychologically focus on and get over that hump and then deal with Tuesday. My thing would be that, and we talked a little bit about this on the Koi Gig Pod today, is I don't totally know if Wales go ahead tomorrow where that leaves us. I don't know if we've been in a situation where we've gone down in a big, big game like that and we've been able to come back. And Wales have done that. We saw them do it in the last round against Slovakia in those games. So they have that for themselves, and I'd be a little bit worried about what we would do in that situation.
It would be ridiculous for Ireland to go in tomorrow and see the first leg as must win, though.
When I say must win, I mean more like must get a result out of. I think that's really important. So like whether it's a draw or a win, I think something is really important out of tomorrow. I know we have the home leg and like I know there's going to be incredible support in the Aviva, but we just haven't had that situation before where we have to, you know, come back and have that big moment. And I suppose that's what's concerning me. I'm not saying we can't do it. And I think we've proven ourselves a lot over the last 6 to 8 months in Ligue 1, and that game in France or in Portiquive against France as well is a particular example of that. But Wales are, you know, we were going into those ones, but any result would have been great because they're the top three teams in the world. Whereas we're going into this at someone that we're probably at a similar enough level of, but again, there's an expectation, I think in Ireland anyways, that we should be winning.
You work hard. Now play harder with the all-new Nissan Armada. It's big, spacious, and powerful. It features a twin-turbo V6 engine that delivers serious strength. Inside, there's room for up to 8 passengers, perfect for bringing the whole family along. With an impressive new engine, incredible towing capacity, and adventure-ready technology, this is the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge. Whether you're tackling tough roads or exploring new horizons, the all-new Nissan Armada is built to keep up with your adventures.
Catherine, could I just ask you, I know she's been mentioned already, but just on Jess Fishlock, some of our audience may not be fully aware of the status that she would have in Welsh football at the moment. So in the conversation, if not like widely deemed the greatest Welsh footballer of all time, I presume at this point, at the age of 37, still going, record appearance holder, record goal scorer. Can you talk a little bit more about Fishlock?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've been privileged to, you know, coach Jess since she was very, very young, played alongside her for the national team and coached her as an international manager. So, you know, she is undoubtedly, I mean, we can talk Jane Ledlawyer as well, who was obviously ex-Arsenal, played in the same era as Ciara Grant and Emma Byrne, you know, all big Irish internationals. But Jess, for me, is undoubtedly the best Welsh player we will ever have. She's played her football around the world, and every single club she's been to, she's been successful. And every single team she's been to, you know, have benefited from Jess's presence. She's at number 10 generally. She can play midfield, but she's really well at finishing, and she loves the big stage. This scene for tomorrow night is just set for her. Every time, you know, and she's our Gareth Bale, you know, and we do rely on her. We overly rely on Jess Fishlock, which sometimes is really unfair. But I got to be honest, you know, she just takes it on the chin, delivers time after time, scores on the big stage, takes her responsibility, and she will die for that Welsh shirt, you know, regardless of all the accolades and all the trophies. She's won Champions League finals. She would give it all back tomorrow and Tuesday to get to a major tournament with a national team.
And where do you think she'll play tomorrow night?
Well, I'm not telling you that, am I? Come on, is that a trick question?
Have you got? I mean, if you have the inside information, I mean, that would be.
Well, hell, I mean, I'm guessing she'll be somewhere near the forward line.
Okay, well, yeah. Kathleen, I presume this is a topic of conversation when Ireland are thinking about opposition analysis. What can Ireland learn from what they did or didn't do with Fishlock earlier in the year, and what will their approach be tomorrow night?
I laugh. Catherine's answer there was very reminiscent of Eileen Gleeson's earlier when she was asked for any tactical analysis on Ireland or Wales for tomorrow night. I think the thing that we really missed the last time that we played them, now obviously we had some injuries, you know, Katie went off at halftime, Denise didn't play, missed one of her first ever senior camps, I think. But it was that midfield area that we just let Jess absolutely run riot in, and she was incredible on the evening. Like, I was at that game and she was just given so much space. That area between the back line and defense, there was just, or sorry, the back line and the midfield, there was just a massive gap there that we weren't able to control, and as a result we weren't able to get the ball properly. We weren't able to get it to Denise, who could then get it up towards our forwards. So I think that's probably going to be an area of focus. Louise came on last time at around halftime, I think it was, and she totally changed the defensive shape. Obviously, we don't have that option tomorrow, but what we do have is a much more settled partnership in Caitlin Hayes and Anna Patton, who comes in then to support them. Is still a bit of a question mark. You know, Megan Connolly is back in the squad, but hasn't really been playing that much for Lazio at the moment. Aoife Mannion, it was obviously confirmed today, isn't going to be around. So does Niamh Fahey come in with her experience, or is she someone that you bring on in the latter half of the game? So I think that midfield area, keeping Jess Fishlock under control, is going to be massive. But like, she's not the only player as well to be focusing on in that Welsh team. She's the big name and she is the standout, but we've seen time and time again several of those Welsh players perform really well at a club level and at a country level as well. So I think it would be remiss of us to just like focus on one, and then where are the goals going to come from? That's going to be the big one for both teams, I think. You know, we saw Wales struggle against Slovakia. I was kind of dual screening those games at the time because Ireland were playing at the same time. And, you know, they were frustrated. They had the ball in the net multiple times, but it was offside. It was hitting the post. And we can relate to that a lot as a country as well. We've been lucky the last while with Julianne coming on board and finding a couple of goals through her, but I think if we're going to get to the other side of this, we're going to need a couple of people to step up, and hopefully Caruso can help with that now that she's back fully fit as well.
Definitely. Catherine, I did have one other specific question I wanted to put to you, because one of the other wrinkles in this recent Wales-Ireland rivalry is that administrative level, where Noel Mooney is obviously working with the Football Association in Wales at the moment. Your initial reaction there is a quick laugh, I think, to Noel Mooney. So what I was reading today, you know, his appointment in July 2021, obviously after a fairly chaotic spell in the FAI, his tenure began with the launch of Our Wales for Her 5-point women's football strategy. Is that something that he gets credit for? Is that something that's worked out? Is he seen as somebody who's really helped the growth of the women's game in Wales, or what's been the view of Noel Mooney in Wales?
No, then how will I put this? I to be honest, I think, you know, it's the FAW. You know, it's not driven by Noel Mooney for me. I've been in the game a long time. I've coached at a decent level. I've played, you know, coached grassroots. There is a higher level of participation for sure at grassroots, and the academy systems seem to be working. We did have a blip in Gemma Granger's era of those 4 years. Or 3 years when Gemma Granger was involved, she wasn't so keen on focusing on the pathway. And previously, Jane Ledlow put all her funding and investment into youth players, 17s and 19s. All those players now we're seeing in the first team. That's Jane Ledlow's work. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to work under her reign. You know, your Fionn Morgans, your Josie Greens, you know, Ella Powells, Alice Griffiths, they're all Jane Ledlow's era. And we're seeing the fruits of that labour now. So I think it was a focus for the FAW to improve the women's game. And naturally, it has developed. But as you know, that success breeds success. And if our national team is being successful, then you kind of see that everything else is filtered down. And it's a general progression. It's a natural progression. It's not something that the FAW have... Yes, you know, for her, for me, yeah. You know, I played back in 1995. Yeah, you know, I get it. I contributed. But things weren't the same. You know, I played every other season. So my career was 15 years. I only played for 7 because every other year you would not play an international game. So I just think it's, we're 2024. The game had to progress. Yeah. There had to be more investment. and now we just reaping that. So for me, it's not, to be honest with you, it's not something that they should take credit for. I just think it's a natural progression.
Fair enough. Catherine, can I ask you who's going to win this tie?
Oh, do you know what? I honestly, my nerves are shot already. I agree with Kathleen. I think it's going to be such a tight game, and I think there's only going to be one goal in it, if any goals tomorrow in Cardiff. I'm hoping that we might pinch the home leg, but then I'm confident that Ireland, Jamie, will also do the same in Dublin. So, terrible answer because I don't really know. But personally, you know, I'd love obviously to see, you know, my national team get to the Euro finals for the first time, as you were the same with your national team. So, yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Enjoy, Catherine. Great to chat to you. Thanks for hopping on the show this evening.
Your pleasure. Thank you.
Kathleen, before I let you go, what's going to be the starting 11 tomorrow?
Oh, this is a good question, and one that myself, Karen, Jamie and Scarlett couldn't really come to a conclusion on earlier on Coy Gig. I think the back line for me is going to be the most interesting as to who gets the call in there, a bit like I was saying earlier. I think it'll be Caruso and Julianne up top, definitely. Courtney, obviously, in goal. Katie and Denise will retain their positions. I think Heather will probably come back into the squad after her injury. I think Patton and Hayes are pretty much solidly on. It's just who accompanies them, with Louise and Aoife being out. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of head scratchers tonight for Eileen Gleeson. I mean, she mentioned specifically by name Jessie Stapleton and Marissa Shiva as two players that have really impressed her over the last two camps, which I thought was interesting because obviously, you know, there's a little bit of not great memories from the World Cup for Marissa Shiva, but she has come back into the squad. She's got regular playing time and she has been good when she's been there. Jessie Stapleton is still incredibly young, but also this experience is going to be monumental for those players because those are the ones that we need to look to, much like Catherine was talking there about Wales in terms of where we go next. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one.
It will be. Very quickly, Kathleen, we are completely out of time. Just give us your prediction in terms of the tie overall. Are Ireland going to progress to Switzerland 2025?
You have to say yes, because at this stage, it's still alive. So, yeah.
Kathleen, we will catch up with you tomorrow evening on the show. Great stuff today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Kathleen McNamee there in Cardiff. It is still 1-1 between Rapid Vienna and Shamrock Rovers. It is still Manchester United 3, BodoGlimt 2. We'll be back right after these.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You work hard. Now play harder with the all-new Nissan Armada. It's big, spacious, and powerful. It features a twin-turbo V6 engine that delivers serious strength. Inside, there's room for up to 8 passengers, perfect for bringing the whole family along. With an impressive new engine, incredible towing capacity, and adventure-ready technology, this is the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge. Whether you're tackling tough roads or exploring new horizons, the all-new Nissan Armada is built to keep up with your adventures.